We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From Boston to Springfield and Worcester, down to Providence and Cape Cod, through New Hampshire and Maine, New England's home for Boston sports. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
This hour of Mud at Night brought to you by Arch Painting.
This is Mud at Night on WEEI.
Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
He needs to be suspended for the remainder of the season.
The reality is he's going to get suspended.
That was assault last night.
This is ridiculous. He could have killed that man.
I thought it was pretty cowardly, pretty bush league.
Myles Garrett has been suspended indefinitely.
The Mud Man.
Watch N'Keal Harry. He's the X factor in this game.
He's got a great edge about him. I really love his tenacity.
He's a special kid. Go and be himself and let his abilities take over.
He looked good, man. He's out there. He's working hard. Look forward to seeing if he gets the opportunity.
Now, Mud at Night on WEEI.
The Hannibal's reaction to something Kern and I were yelling about last night. We'll talk about Tom Brady. We'll talk to you. It's Mud at Night. Patriots and Eagles on Sunday. Your thoughts, 617-779-7937. Jamie in Charlestown leads us off this hour as we get set to talk all things football this segment. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
So you said 80% of the teams lose when they come off the bye week. That other 20% is actually the Patriots and the Ravens that win. The Ravens have, I think, they're 15-4, and the Patriots are 14-4 off the bye week because no one prepares better. And if I may, back to this helmet thing, I tried to call it earlier, but
sure.
The lines were jammed.
Go ahead.
So you kind of contradicted yourself when you said that, you know, Comey had every right to kick him in the head after. That's still assault with a dangerous weapon, no matter how you look at it. You know what I mean? It was a retaliation.
But he was defending his quarterback, Jamie.
Oh, I understand that 100%. But, you know, everyone's kind of negating the fact that, you know, the quarterback was trying to rip off that other guy's helmet, too. Like, I didn't have a dog in the fight for that game. I just kind of watched it, and it wound up being crazy at the end, and I'm glad I didn't miss it. But it was a fight. Like, if you take football out of it and you have a street fight and two people are going at it, you're not going to – if someone punches you in the face and you have the ability to hit them with something else, you're not going to try to hit them and try to knock them out. You know what I mean? It go back and forth with punch for punch. You're going to try to win that fight and get out of it.
Yeah, but this is the guy, so you're defending him swinging the helmet because it was a fight?
Absolutely. He,
what?
What if he got punched in the face and knocked out before he swung
the
helmet?
He has a helmet on.
Yeah.
Rudolph. Did you watch it or not? It was Rudolph who didn't have a helmet.
Yeah, and Rudolph tried to take his helmet off too. That's what he was trying
to do. But it was still there.
It was still on.
But you're that's an alternate universe. In this reality, Myles Garrett is much bigger than the quarterback. He outweighs him by at least like 100 pounds, probably more than that. And he swung a helmet at a guy without a helmet. If he hit him with the crown of the helmet, he might be dead today.
You could say that for any hockey fight. If a guy hits the ice the wrong way,
no.
Or any fight.
Okay,
you're
right about that, which is why they're trying to take it out of the game. This is a situation where he could have. There was no real fight. He's the much bigger guy, correct? And he was much more leverage over a quarterback size wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
him being the smaller person, what stopped him from walking away from that fight? He could have just turned around and walked away, but he still went at it with them.
Okay, you're okay with
he
him swinging the helmet?
Not,
I mean, that's thank you for the call, Jim. I don't think Jamie's alone. I want to make sure we got that on the record. That's a caller who's okay because it was a fight. That it's okay. You could use a weapon in a fight, like nunchucks. Good.
So I guess by that logic, he's saying that every player should take off their helmets and use them as weapons when there's fights.
If it was a fight, I guess in this case, yes. I guess what the call was saying. I would disagree.
Me too.
I think the league disagreed as well. And I don't. This was not about Mason Rudolph. It was a scrum. It was a normal football scrum up until a player swung a helmet at another player who was not wearing a helmet.
Agreed.
Like that's where it changed. All the other stuff, like you sort of had seen before.
Well, in this case, too, he took away his means of protection and used it to hurt him.
No kidding. Right. It's like a hockey fight. No, it's not. It's two different things. Like, again.
And hockey fights happen over the course of a game on a daily basis. You don't ever see players rip off opposing helmets than use them as weapons. Like, that doesn't happen.
No, and guys who use sticks, like Todd Bertuzzi, and I'm forgetting some other player, was it McSorley? Like,
Marty McSorley, yep.
Those guys use their stick as a weapon, like Myles Garrett did. It's why they got big suspension at the time. It's why Garrett's going to get suspended into next year. But I'm not doing what the caller did, which is defending him because it was a quote-unquote fight. He should be allowed to do what he wants to win the fight. This is not UFC.
Well, if that's the case,
this is not WWF.
Then why was Pouncey suspended 3 games for kicking? Like, under his logic, that should be okay because they were fighting, so anything goes. So the league agrees with us.
I don't see. This is where my brain, I can't. When you say, hey, it's okay because it was a fight, that's where my brain starts to turn off. I should be able to, you know, rationalize that and have the debate back and forth. But if you think that, like, where else am I supposed to go with the conversation? Like, you don't realize it's not hockey, you don't realize it's not wrestling?
Yeah, there's really no argument for that.
We'll sneak Paulie in before you get to your grievances from last night's show. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, but you know, you're one of the top sports radio talk show hosts around nowadays in the region.
Let's save that. Ben, let's send that to this producer. Let's send it to our bosses. Yep.
You speak from the heart. You're full of energy.
Very attractive.
I love you, Mike.
I love you too, Paulie.
You don't have to wait long, you know, to get on with you.
No, we're going to go on to something else, but you're talking about Garrett, so I wanted to get you in here. So go ahead.
I just love you, though, pal.
I love you too.
I was thinking about that today. So I got to tell him that next time I call.
Good, anytime.
Yeah, I'm really impressed. Right? I'm telling you, you're like a new addition of Ordway. You know, you're like coming up right behind.
I won't say that.
Hold on, Paulie, I'll let you say it.
If callers want to say they love me from now on, we can do that. If everyone call, like Dan Patrick's callers say their height and weight,
you guys can say you love me. You know?
Good. Me too, buddy.
You know,
go ahead.
I can't help it. All right. So, that was like a boys will be boys type of sort of thing for me. I mean, it was a heat of the moment. It's football. They're rough houses. These are tough guys. You know, the quarterback went after him. After he got up, you know, he went after him. He was looking for, he wanted his helmet back, and he got it all right. He gave it to him. I mean, I got to give Garrett a little bit of credit.
What?
But, you know, being able, with the guy on him, be able to cross over and hit him with that haymaker and come right in on target. But you know who my hero is in that whole thing? It was Pouncey. I want him on my team. Let me tell you, when he backed right, he went right after that guy.
Yep.
He backed
yep.
up his quarterback, and he
David
went
DeCastro
after him
too.
Fiercely. He'd still be kicking him in the head if somebody didn't pull him away.
Yeah, my issue, Paulie, with him, my issue, Paulie, and thanks for the call, and I love you too. My issue with him is that he was pro Hernandez post killings. Like, he's walking around with the.
That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Free Aaron Hernandez.
Yep.
Him and his brother.
Back in. What's yep. that?
Him and his brother.
Yes. Yep. The Pouncey brothers were big friends of him in Florida, and they yep. kept supporting him and Instagram.
That was literally the first thing that came to my mind last night when seeing the Pouncey stuff.
It's tough to love that guy, even for that move after that incident.
And like we said before, he's probably doesn't deserve a 3-game suspension because he's just coming to the defense of his quarterback.
It'll get knocked down in
to 1 or 2 games.
Yeah.
I could get on board with that.
What's your beef from last night's show with Kern?
So
who's off his rocker last night?
So you were on a.
Yeah, thank God we have delay, Ben.
You were having a discussion about Tom Brady and younger wide receivers.
Yep.
And Brady's reluctance to throw to them this year. And over yep. the last couple years, for that matter.
Okay, it was a good part of the show. Yep, the
and
whole show was good.
Curran had a take that that's actually not the case because Brady threw to Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Why didn't you challenge him on that?
I did.
No, you didn't.
I said it was a different Tom Brady then.
You didn't. What I listened to, you just let him say it and you moved on.
Right. This is where this gets frustrating because Curran and I had the debate on the show. We pointed out it was a different Tom Brady then.
We or you? Did he agree?
I did. We were the people that were there last night. We were all laughing at him when he said that.
It's true because it was 10 years ago. You can't make that. You can't make that comparison and say something that happened 10 years ago is truth now.
Well, I think there's some evidence.
And also, Rob Gronkowski's like the best tight end. You said you wanted me to bring something up, and now you don't care.
Well, I mean, but you don't think there's any evidence to the idea that this year Brady's in a mood, like beginning to end, this year and last year?
No,
that Brady's in a mood.
I'm agreeing.
And he wants to just deal with the... But that was my point to him. We talked about it. It's a different Brady now than it was 10 years ago. He's more likely to...
I guess I would have liked...
I think my direct quote was, he is a shorter wick now. On a candle? Is that what it's called, Lucy, a wick?
That is correct.
Okay.
Good job, Mutt.
In the day, he'd have a longer leash with these players.
Yes.
Now... he doesn't. That's why when it was Gronkowski and Hernandez, also really good players, one a killer, another pushing CBD medic down our throats. But they're not, you know, Jacoby Myers and Gunner, who stinks, And, you know, even N'Keal Harry, who you love.
I guess I would have liked to see more challenging U of Karn for that tank.
Thanks. Awesome.
I'm just the part that I heard, I thought that you didn't really go after him. You just sort of moved on to the next topic.
Well, because, I mean, we debated a couple times in the show.
Okay, so maybe I came in late and listened to it later on. But I just thought that you didn't really give it the all, like, challenge him as much as I thought that you could have.
But you also have, you've written it's not, a, we talk too much about that, about the young receiver. So which one is it? It's a different Brady.
What do you mean we talk about the young receivers?
You think that we've overreacted to the idea that N'Keal Harry has not gotten the attaboys from Brady and Belichick and his teammates until this week. I mean, you were mocking me for that take a week ago, saying, why do you care what Brady says? They're giving him the lip service.
I don't really feel strongly about what people say to the media about players.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, the quarterback carries a lot of weight, Ryan.
If you're a player and you're reading the media clippings of what your quarterback says about you, then you're not off to a good start in the NFL.
Well, I think rookies do that. I'm sure there are rookies that shouldn't look at any of this stuff, but they do. It's like when you start in...
Yeah, they should do how he's reacting to you on the practice field, not what he says to the media on Friday afternoon.
But you don't think it can help a player's confidence if Tom Brady, the best quarterback of all time, married to Giselle,
sure,
very handsome... Sure, what?
It could help.
I didn't even get to the, I'm getting, say, if he said, so he goes out to the podium two Fridays ago, and instead of saying when was asked the question, hey, what do you think about N'Keal Harry coming back? And his answer was, well, he's been hurt. Like, you don't think I can give some guy confidence into a bye week or a game by saying he's worked hard out there. Saying what he said with OMF this week.
Yep.
Saying he, you know, he works hard. He's tenacious. We like the edge that he has. To me, he said that a couple weeks too late. Like, he left this window where you couldn't get a good sense about whether or not he wanted to work with him. And we all think, yes, he's going to be important. And that's why we played the N'Keal Harry sound last hour, because we think he's going to be needed, because we don't think Edelman and Sanu and these guys are going to last
Brady,
the next part of the season.
He also made the point by saying that this is what makes the Patriots franchise so good, is that they don't give praise when nothing's happened yet. You can't set these expectations for a rookie when he hasn't even stepped on the field. Like, you can't just come out and say, oh, he's looked so great in practice. He does this and that. He's working so hard, this and that.
Why?
Because then it comes out, what if he comes out in the field and catches two passes? Then you open yourself up to criticism because he was overhyped.
If the player is so soft that he has a bad game and it bothers him and it gets put back on the player, like that they overhyped him, then you've got yourself a problem. Like, if he has a bad game, he's going to, no matter what Brady says about him.
That's why no expectations are set.
So, let's say they don't do as much up-tempo as they did last week, and N'Keal Harry plays a significant amount this weekend.
Yep.
Has a bad game. He's gonna have to push back that anyway. So we're gonna say, oh, thank God the Patriots didn't praise him.
No.
So we're not the calls on Ordway's show Sunday night. The game will end. It'll be Glenn, Fred, and Steve, and it'll be like three drops. Let's call it three drops in a bad game. People aren't gonna care what the expectation was. They're gonna say N'Keal Harry, first round pick, needed to perform and he didn't. No matter what these guys didn't
but
say about
But if Brady came
him.
Out and had all this praise, then it'd be even more of a disappointment.
I think you're... I disagree. I think that because if he was like... If he were a fifth or sixth round pick and Brady was talking this guy up, then he went out there and didn't perform, then he'd say, boy, Brady talked him up, didn't work. N'Keal Harry was taken in the first round. Most people when he was drafted, even out of Arizona State, who were casual football fans, knew who the player was and knew he was expected to help this year. So the minute you take the player in the first round... You get labeled with the expectations. Doesn't matter what Brady or anyone says about you, you've got to go perform. And that happens to every first-round pick. It's happening to Sony Michel right now. He's a first-round pick.
Right, but I'm saying this isn't week one of the season. A lot's happened since. He's went on IR. He came back to practice, wasn't activated for the Ravens game. Like, you just can't look into... If you're a rookie receiver and you're N'Keal Harry, you should not look into what Tom Brady is saying to the media. You should look into what he's saying to you behind the scenes on the practice field. Like, if N'Keal Harry really is looking at the media clippings, that's not a good sign for N'Keal Harry.
But you know that Brady uses the media to get his message across. My example would be in Tom versus Time, when he called Rob Gronkowski on the way home in the car with Giselle. And the point was there not to call Gronk, and maybe he would have called him anyway, but he had a cameraman in his back seat, and he wanted to point out to the world how much Gronk meant to him. Now, I understand he's a veteran and different. I'm not comparing at all Gronkowski and N'Keal Harry. But Brady inherently knows what he says carries weight. It's why he can't say things like, yeah, go get lubed up out there pregame before a big game, because the media kills him for it. It's why he can't put a Make America Great Again hat. So when he says, oh, the guy's been hurt, he has to know that comes across as a negative. I was surprised at the way, at least till the OMF segment, where he handled that with the young player. I was surprised. Apparently you weren't.
Because, but then he also went into the
disappointed is what I would say it was.
But then he went into the same thing about how talking about why he hasn't given him praise, because like we said, that's the way the Patriots do things. You don't give a guy, you know, high praise and set these expectations. They don't give the expectations.
What is your expectation? Andy Hart didn't love what he saw from N'Keal Harry in the preseason. Why?
He seemed to be thinking too much. He has good hands. He's clearly known for going up and making contested catches. That's great. But other than that, it's really hard to see him contributing much. I don't think he's a guy that necessarily will be able to read a defense and say, if he's playing this way, I'm going to break this way. If he's playing this way, I'm going to break that way. He seems like a guy that needs to have one route and run that specific route.
What's the Hannibal prediction then down the stretch? Is he active this week?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of numbers? End of the year?
I think by the end of the year, I think you're looking at somewhere in the range of 15 to 20 catches, 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
So that's, let's say, 20 catches. That's 3 catches a game.
Because I think that's Philip Dorsett. But you look at who they're playing at the end of the year. You got Miami and Cincinnati. So I look at those games, maybe 4 or 5 catches when you're maybe resting guys, trying to boost Harry stock up for the playoffs. So I think he's going to average probably 2 catches a game.
That's really not much of a factor. So that's not supplanting Philip Dorsett.
No, he's
as the
not.
Third outside wide receiver. See, that's disappointing.
You could use him differently. Like, we've talked about their struggles in the
red zone. Yeah.
I would use him in the red zone. He can make those, you know, throw those fades and let him go up and get it. That's why I would use him. Because it's also less on his mind where he's not thinking about, I should do this or this. It's just catch the ball.
And I like Philip Dorsett, but if this kid is worth a first-round pick, he should be supplanting Dorsett as the third outside guy. Like, he's on the outside and then some sort of mix on the strong side of Sanu and Edelman. Like, that to me is... In a perfect world, if he doesn't supplant Dorsett, it said something about Brady not wanting to work with him or the kid just not being ready for NFL football. One of the two.
I'm a big Jacoby Myers guy. I'd like to see more Myers. He's caught 14 of 17 balls thrown his way.
But he has not supplanted Dorsett yet either.
Right. But that's why I would like to see it. I would like to throw Myers out there. See what you have in him. I think he has the ability to make plays. He's done it when he's been thrown to, but he just hasn't gotten the chance to do that.
More snap. Oh, can they both be active?
Yeah.
Can Myers and...
You can make Gunner inactive.
And someone else can return punts?
Sanu could.
See, that make... I would do... I mean, Gunner...
Gunner popped up on the injury report this week with ankle and today, actually. So
did Damian Harris, right? Last minute popped up. He's not going to play.
I got to sort of float something out there. Potentially, maybe the Foxborough flu coming for Damian Harris.
What do you mean?
Put him on IR next week to get Isaiah Wynn on the roster.
Really?
Well, they have to make a roster move.
This after Andy Hart made the big push, where's Damian Harris?
I'm not saying it's a bad look for the website. I'm just saying you have to consider the timing of this.
Okay. We'll consider that going forward.
Friday afternoon, all of a sudden he's on the injury report, hasn't played in the game.
Ooh, so that's a headline. Are you going to write that tomorrow?
Don't program the website.
I'm trying to help.
I know, but like
you admitted you want to write more things that are read. Like you want to write things that people are popular.
Right.
Not just little blog posts. That would be popular. The Damian Harris take would be an interesting take. No one else has said that yet.
But it could potentially go on. I think that's maybe like a note inside of a piece.
Ooh, in your 10 things? You do Sunday morning. You do a little
Sunday
list,
seven.
Right? Sunday 7, I'm sorry.
Yep. Could be in there.
I'll read it. Is that going to be written in Boston or in Philadelphia?
Maybe on the plane.
Oh, it's not a long flight.
Yeah, it doesn't take that long.
Southwest?
No, it's American.
Oh, look at this big spender American. Congratulations.
I'm not a big American fan. No Wi-Fi.
Oh, boy, here we go. 617-779-7937, the phone number. Here's a good thing. Your boss is joining us coming up. Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. Had an excellent sit down with Mookie Betts, with Dustin Pedroia this week. And we're going to, because there's a bunch of Red Sox stuff going on. We start getting the hot stove conversation in a couple minutes with Rob Bradford next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're right back to Mud at Night on WEEI.
Look at the names. Look at the people involved. If a guy like Alex Cora, who comes out of the Astros system, he's lauded as the kind of player, the kind of human that MLB is trying to push up through the ranks in order to get more minority coaches, and managers involved in the game. If they figure out that he was instrumental in something that led to a championship for a team that has a reputation for doing shady stuff, banning him for life is not entirely out of the question remotely.
All right, that is Clinton Yates on ESPN. Rob Bradford is going to join us here in a second. Rob is going to join us throughout the offseason, part of the Hot Stove Conversation, brought to you by Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the Boston Red Sox. Mr. Bradford, it's Mutt and your employee Hannibal. How are you?
Well, I heard that Lucy told me that Hannibal's a firecracker tonight. A
lot of yelling tonight from Ryan. Out of nowhere, actually.
It's tough. It's tough when you're talking to Mutt. It doesn't let you speak. You got to yell to get your point across.
No, I'm not Andy. We can talk back and forth, but he treats me like Andy Hart, which is fine. We've had some good discussions tonight. Nothing about baseball. You're here. You're going to be here every week discussing the sport of baseball. Are you still in Arizona?
No.
What kind of question
no.
is that?
I don't know. Maybe he's still
Did you
out
listen
there.
To the Fourier's?
First of Mutt.
I didn't listen to any late night stuff.
The Fourier's thing at 2 to 4 in the morning.
I was not up for it. I did my three hours and went home.
I had jury duty after that. I was a warrior. I slept in my car in a Lynn Starbucks in between. So anything for the station, anything for the show, as is evident by me joining you right now.
Yes, anything for the sponsor, our good friends at Bigelow Tea. Now, we played Clinton Yates of ESPN coming out of that. And I'm curious, Rob, as you've talked to people around baseball, how deep is this going to get into the Red Sox organization? What has happened in Houston? I know Alex Cora is going to talk with Major League Baseball. Craig Bjornsson is also going to be part of the conversation here. What is the scuttlebutt about the Red Sox involvement in this 2017 look back at the Astros?
Well, I don't think there's any question that they were involved because everyone, when you have a player in Mike Fiers, who obviously was in the middle of it, he gave the details and he admitted to partaking in it, and so everyone there knew it. I don't think this is a mystery. In terms of the penalty, I don't think it's going to be big because this isn't really how MLB operates. You had a case last year where the Houston Astros should have been penalized, but really they weren't. They got a slap on the wrist, they got a press release, and I think baseball is probably going to do along the same lines with these guys who did this a couple of years ago. The bigger problem now is that this is a terrible, terrible look for this game, certainly for that team. But as I tweeted out today, you know, this is a thing with it. This is just a one example of a huge problem in baseball. I do believe they cleaned it up a little bit last year because when you talk about having that television in the hallway and banging a trash barrel, that doesn't happen last year, and I'll tell you why. Because MLB had put people back there after all the chaos from the year before. That doesn't mean it didn't happen in 2017, though. So it's a terrible, terrible look across the board.
Well, and the question becomes, you say the penalty's not going to be severe. Do you think it's going to be suspensions?
Well,
is it going to be fines?
I don't think. I don't think that there's going to be a suspension. I think there might be a fine. I don't think for those guys, and I might be wrong, but I don't, judging by how MLB has handled this, I don't think there's going to be a huge penalty now for the Houston Astros.
Well, how about A.J. Hinch? Let's circle back to the Astros. We're talking about Miles Garrett, his suspension. If all this stuff comes true and the videos out there are amazing of the sound you can hear and the splits in the World Series are ridiculous, I don't think it's beyond the realm to say, A.J. Hinch, you're sitting down for a year.
Jeff Passan said it would be like historic suspensions or historic penalty coming.
I'd sit him down for a year, Rob. Is that overly aggressive?
I think so, but I think that I don't think that you can discount anything because, like I said, they got a lot of heat for not penalizing them enough. But this is a far worse look than what happened last year in the playoffs. And if they want to reel this in, because really, guys, when they only had the press release and the slap on the wrist, a lot of people in baseball said, well, that's not going to deter people from doing it. And that's exactly what happened. It just kept evolving. So if baseball is going to reel this in, much like the PED stuff, like they weren't harsh enough with the PED stuff and it kept on going. If they're smart, they really, really layer the hammer down on the Astros in this case, even though, guys, I mean, I guarantee you that the Astros weren't the only team to do something like this. And the reason I guarantee you is because I know that the Red Sox last year at the beginning of the season, as I tweeted this out earlier today, where they were going with signs with nobody on second base. And what that means is that they thought every team that they were facing them were using some electronic device, some sort of video to relay signs. Now they started doing that. The first series they started doing that in was in Toronto. So that suggests that they think Toronto was using the electronic device to steal signals, which is exactly the crux of the matter here.
Which is fair. I think it's also fair to suggest, given the Red Sox employees coming from Houston, that the Red Sox have been involved in this too at some level, that they have been as guilty as anybody.
We would be dummies to suggest that they didn't know how this worked in large part because they were in the middle of it, right? Correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I got a new topic. Did you know that Rob had an MVP vote this week?
I did not know that, no.
Yes, Rob was voted for.
Wait, do you pay attention to anything, or are you on radio.com
Yes, Patriots.
All the live long day?
Patriots and radio.com is what I focus in on right now. The only awards I care about are the Country Music Awards. I don't care about the MVP.
So Robin had an MVP vote, and he was the only writer in baseball to have Xander Bogaerts number 3 in his voting, and he also put...
That was the only smart one.
He also put Rafael Devers ahead of Mookie Betts.
He should have.
Which was highly criticized. In the baseball world.
I didn't see that criticized anywhere, Rob. I did know you had a vote, and you got the Devers thing right. He was much more valuable to the team than Mookie Betts was this year.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because...
Who's critical of him? Are there tweets? No.
It was a spirited debate about a lot of people. Well, the fact is, Betts finished, what, 8th? And Devers finished 12th? So clearly that was not the popular opinion. But you and I both saw these players play, and the easy argument for Devers over Betts is that you go up and down the offensive categories, Devers is better, except for walks and on-base percentage. And last time I checked, the whole thing was about impacting a game, and nothing impacts a game more than a hit. It sure impacts a game more than a walk, or really defense. So I think Devers was a no-brainer. In terms of Bogaerts, like, people voted Semien for 3rd. Okay, well, he hit 30 points lower than Bogaerts. And I know batting average is archaic, but sorry, I can't do that. I can't vote one guy over another when that's the case.
Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe was the one who was upset about Mookie Betts and Rafael Devers.
What do you say?
He tweeted,
I like Julian, but I would be glad to sit down and have a two-person roundtable discussing that.
Mookie finishing 8th in MVP votes is a joke. Probably should have been top 5, in my opinion.
Oh, come on, Julian. Man,
not this year. I mean, if you're just looking at war, and I did not look at the season-ending war totals, I'm sure he's top 5 in war in the American League. His numbers, his stats favor that. But if you watch the impact of it and what he meant to this team, other guys meant more. Other guys meant more.
Well, throughout all our highly rated hot stove shows, we talked about this at least once a year, how – in the MVP voting, too many times people are defaulting to war. That's the problem. And I think that was the case here. So, you know, listen, I got it right. Everybody else got it wrong. It's their prerogative to be wrong.
He is Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. I'd listened to the entire podcast with the Bradford Show with Dustin Pedroia. I was there. It brought back memories, man. Rob and I did a weekend show, and he's trying to hustle and get Pedroia on the show. And he wanted some piece of equipment.
This came up this week, actually.
The station was going to buy, and it cost way much more than they thought it was going to buy. And so you're back in the scene of the crime out there in Arizona. And he did sound different, Rob. It was a more, I won't say positive vibe, but a more confident vibe with Pedroia. That's how it came across listening to the Bradford Show, which if you care about the Red Sox, go listen to get Pedroia's take on this year. Is confident the word you would use in talking to him about his future, you know, on and off the baseball field?
No, I thought it was the exact opposite.
Really?
Thought he wasn't as confident.
Well, I thought he was. I thought compared to, we'll see you guys again whenever. I don't know. to, hey, I know this is going to happen. I'm going to make the leg stronger. I screwed up last time. I didn't put enough load. I didn't do enough load bearing exercises. And now I know what to do. And I'm 60% to where I was going to be. Like, the way he was talking about it was much more confident about where he was than that. Well, I don't know if I'm going to play again. Who knows? We'll see.
No. Well, you go back to last year when I did the interview in that same weight room, right next to that same $10,000 power plate machine, that he was, you know, I'm going to come back. I'm going to shock the world. Nobody's done this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to show everybody. And then you have this conversation, and the perfect example of this, of his change in tone, was when he's talking about waking up and getting all this text about what Chaim Bloom said at the GM meetings. And he says, like, hey, listen, I told everybody, basically paraphrasing, but pump the brakes. And I asked him, a year ago, would you have said that? He's like, no, I would have said how I'm going to go kick everyone's butt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know, do the same thing.
But that's a good thing. That's that's maturity for me.
The time thing.
But that's more maturity for me. Recognizes now, like, I screwed up. I rushed it. My quad wasn't ready. My calf wasn't ready. I just went out there and just dragged my leg around. And I was comparing it not to last year. I was comparing it to when we last saw him. This
Memorial
year,
Day, whatever.
When that, where that the send off was, like, hey, I'm going home.
I'm much more confident
from there. I'm sorry.
So we were both right. Yeah, no, there's no question. There's no question at all, because that day we all said he's retiring. And as he said, he saw progress, and he feels that he figured out that they had neglected this quad muscle, which you need to support the knee, and he knows that he has a ways to go, but at least he sort of identified, if I do this, I have a much better chance at coming back. But he said it. He's like, you know, I spent the last 2 years saying I was going to kick everyone's ass coming back. And, like, if you do that for 2 years and you play in 9 games, it doesn't really take root. So he understands that now a little bit better.
What's the Rob Bradford Mookie Betts timetable here? What's the next month, 2 months, 3 months? How's this thing look?
I think that he gets paid. My guess is that they don't find a good deal for him, and he's on the Boston Red Sox, and he gets paid almost $28 million, and you see what happens at the trade deadline. Because, Mutt, I think that what people don't understand about this situation is that you just aren't going to get a whole lot back for him. At $28 million for 1 year with no chance of renegotiating a long-term deal, you know, there's no chance. And, you know, I think that, and it's a dangerous thing, because I don't think he's going to re-sign here. I think in their world, they would like to get a good haul for him, but I don't know if that's going to be possible. Maybe they find the right deal, but right now he's worth more, a whole lot more to this team than he is in the trade.
Well, I think this speaks to the conservative current nature of baseball, Rob, because in football, player like this available even for a year, somebody would go get him. I know the rules are different. You can franchise tag, so it's not perfect, but they would go get him. In the NBA,
$28 million guaranteed money in football.
But he's, as Julian McWilliams said, he's a top five MVP candidate year in and year out, no matter where you vote him. And so you're getting a really, really good player. You're getting, last 3 years, you're getting one of the best two or three players in the entire freaking league. And if it wasn't baseball, which right now is this really conservative, not spend the money, hold on to the prospects, you trust the process bullcrap, this guy would be traded. So I'm not going to blame them if they can't trade him. And don't give him away. Don't do that. It speaks to me more of baseball being scared to acquire a guy like this, and other sports wouldn't be the same. Would not be the same.
But, well, no, I don't think that's the case, because, once again, it's $28 million guaranteed. And think about these teams' payroll. They all have budgets. Yeah. The Red Sox have a budget. The Blue Jays have a budget. But if you're going to say we're going to allocate $28 million to our budget next year, as good a player this is, while, by the way, giving up a player that is going to be controllable for a long, long time, which is exactly what the Red Sox are looking for, right now, that doesn't seem realistic. Paul Goldschmidt is the guy that everyone points to.
Yeah.
You got a good catcher coming back, but it's not apples to apples, because it was your less money. And he agreed to an extension right away.
But isn't Betts a better player than Goldschmidt was at that time?
Of course he is. But still, I mean, no matter, he's a very, very good player at less money. At less money, and he was agreeable to signing an extension to the team he was being traded to. I don't think there's a chance in heck that he's going to be able to, he's going to do that with a team that he's traded to.
You can't use words like heck, Rob. Be careful. This is nighttime radio. Jesus.
If it was after nine, I would have said the H-E double hockey sticks, but I would never do that.
It was 2 a.m. when you were dancing around with Fourier.
Oh, my goodness. That was
good time.
They never even posted that audio. It was so salty. It was crazy.
I saw the video of. Were you in that jump around video? No, you weren't there.
No. I have this. Fourier texted me. He didn't want to tweet it. He texted me video of me playing the air guitar at 3 o'clock.
Oh, when he when he went around, so he went out of the room, and everyone had someone's on the cymbals, someone's on guitar. Yeah, that was. Listen, you did your job. You were part of the process. $100,000. Fourier did a great job, and he deserves all the accolades he gets. Around these parts.
It was the most creative thing since you did play-by-play for the basketball between me and Wiggy.
Well, I look forward to doing that again very soon. You can play however you want. I'll race Lucy. It's all going to happen. It's all happening. Rob is with us on a Friday night, courtesy of our friends at Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the Boston Red Sox. Rob, we'll talk next week. Thanks.
I enjoyed it, Mutt. Thank you.
We always enjoy it. Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. He's gone big time on me, Hannibal. He used to come in the studio for these things, hang out for a little bit, and now he's just, Friday night, maybe out with the wife, Lord Hobo Brewery. Who knows?
Maybe.
Not sure. Meanwhile, we come back. We've done all sports all day. We've done Myles Garrett. We've done
Patriots-Eagles.
Ridiculous Patriots takes from Hannibal that this microphone's like smoking. It's on fire from the hot takes you had. We just gave people a baseball segment in the middle of football season. It's been all sports. We'll come back. ABS. Abs.
Abs.
Wow. Said it right. Anything but sports? Everyone got one? Everyone prepared to talk about this today?
Yep.
It's not about Christmas decorations, is it? Good. I got two. I'll tease it ahead of time. I got two. Utah, give me two. Abs next.
Now, Mutt at Night on WEEI.
We talk about anything but sports. Not apps. Abs.
Abs. What I said.
He said...
Sounded like apps.
Sounded like apps.
Abs.
Like, what do you guys want to get for apps tonight?
What do you
want? Abs.
Abs.
You can't say abs. You can't do that, but he's here tonight. He's Ryan Hannibal, who's doing a big spot on, WIP?
WIP.
9:30. Talk Philly.
Yep.
Can have some of those hot Patriot takes.
I save them just for you, Mike.
Your defensive line is good in Philadelphia. That's what I say. Hannibal's here. Anything but sports. Hashtag abs. We're going to Ben Charleston, who was not here last week. And an amazing, I don't know if he's trolling us or not. I'm still not sure. Nick LaPan, who was here, who's a pretty funny guy, apparently. He had the same abs that Ben had the week prior. So I don't know if he's trolling us or he really just didn't pay attention to it. Or Lucy didn't help him out. I'm not sure.
What should he have done? Like, preface him on what everybody said in the history of
That was Ben's last week. I assume they talk behind the glass. We're talking here every break and gossiping. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if Nick could come up with something else, so I was like, all right, just go with that.
He wasn't terrible. Don't come on.
He's fine.
You don't like him.
No, he was an intern when I was working with Dale and Keefe.
That's what it was.
Yeah. No, he's fine.
He's a fine host. He's a fine host.
He's a nice guy.
Ben, we missed you last week. Going to Vegas next week. What do you got?
All right, so mine for this week.
Yeah.
Is Thanksgiving dinner overrated?
Yes.
Because you have it once a year.
No, you have it once
a year.
I've heard this. Okay,
never again. So like,
it takes a long time to cook, and it's so much food that I was growing up, leftovers were key. Not anymore. Like the food game has changed. But that's a ridiculous take. Like, what don't you like? Hold on. Shut up. What don't you like?
No, I like Thanksgiving. And I'm going to have it twice this year. With both sides of my family.
Okay.
So that's great.
Congrats on the double.
It's great, but it's also like one of those things, like once Thanksgiving's over, I don't really think about it again. I'm like, you know what I could go for right now in July? Turkey, stuffing, some cranberry sauce, and mashed potatoes. That would go great right now.
So you won't do
July.
A turkey meal at some point over the winter? Oh, I will.
I'll do Thanksgiving, get it all in there, and that's it.
My dad has like a smoker. And we'll smoke a turkey. The Dr. Pepper, the smoker mix. Oh, it's unbelievable. So, I mean, I've heard that take before. I just choose to disagree. What don't you like? Go ahead.
I don't like Thanksgiving food at all.
So what do you eat on Thanksgiving?
I prefer mac and cheese. Mac and cheese and ham. My family makes ham specifically for me because I hate turkey.
See, I at least like all this turkey and all that stuff.
You are. Hey, Mom, I don't like ham.
I know, I like ham.
I don't like turkey, so make me a ham, Mom.
Yep.
Some mac and cheese, please.
Mac and cheese, some rolls.
You are permanently at the kids' table with that meal.
Mac and cheese and rolls.
You're a little kid. That's ridiculous.
It's true.
I make a couple things. I make a great guacamole from scratch.
Guacamole?
It's a good appetizer. Can be anything.
Yeah, true.
The chips and salt, whatever. I make a great homemade cranberry sauce, which real that to be fair is only really good around Thanksgiving. Like I want to put the time in with the cranberries. That's I understand that. The rest of it, I'm all for it. Every Thanksgiving food,
no thanks.
Put in my belly. Oh yeah, mac. Like Boston Market mac and cheese.
No, it's going to be homemade.
All right, Lucy, what do you got?
Okay, so Baby It's Cold Outside, new edition has been released, and it's terrible. The lyrics are outrageous, and we have some of it now.
So
this is John Legend and Kelly Clarkson.
And John Legend was named the sexiest man alive this week?
He is the sexiest man alive, named by people. That's another issue.
It's Helmsworth, whatever his name is, but go ahead.
Your driver, his name is Murray.
Maybe just a happy dream.
We're both the dogs, so who's keeping
what
score?
Will my friends think?
I think they should rejoice.
If I have one more dream,
it's your body and your choice.
Oh my God.
So awful. That's so stupid. Who cares
your
driver's name is Murray? But here's my favorite edition of Baby It's Cold Outside.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
It's
I've got to go
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
Father will be pacing.
I'm good. I could do this all night. I've never done karaoke before.
You're like a whole album.
I've never done karaoke before. I think I could do it. I'm going to do karaoke.
You should like make.
Vegas, we'll do karaoke. Yes.
You and Ben Charles.
But you guys should do an album of duets, you and Curtis.
No, no, thank you. No,
you should bring that back this year. That was a good holiday feature.
Nah, no.
Tomasi was involved. It was good.
Like, that was a different time at the station's history at that point. There's a lot of people around. No, you got to move on. You got to do new stuff.
Yeah, fresh blood, though. You can get Greg Hill involved, Danielle.
I think Hannibal wants to sing. I think that's what he's saying.
That's fine. We can sing on this show, but I don't want to get... You think Greg Hill wants to be involved with me at all? No. He wants no part of me.
He talked to me at Encore. We bonded.
I know you did. We didn't bond at Encore, okay? So he can do his own thing. We'll do ours. So what you want to sing... You want to sing here before Christmas? I'll be doing plenty of pre-Christmas shows. I'll be here.
All right.
So you want to sing? We can sing together.
Let's do it.
You want to do a night where we all sing a Christmas carol? I'm fine with that. Or we can produce them off the air and then play them.
Yeah.
As part of us want to do it
coming
live.
Coming in out of breaks. I like that.
I'm okay with that.
And then we do a Twitter poll about whose is best.
I like it.
I'm fine with that. Great idea. Excellent idea.
Like it.
Go.
So we'll all be traveling coming up. I'll be going to Philly this weekend. You'll be going to Vegas.
If you say you don't like airplanes,
nope.
I'm going to kill you.
So... I have if you're staying for multiple nights at a hotel, what's the proper way to tip the maid service coming in? Do you tip at the end? Do you tip every day? What's proper to tip? Like, I never know.
Okay, so you're asking the wrong guy because up until recently, I was taking these 200-mile limo rides and
like
not tipping.
Not at tipping. All.
For one night?
Yeah. No, two nights. So I'm going to be in Philly for two nights. What do I do?
See, I'm going to sound so cheap when I say this. I would leave $10. And I'm sure that's probably not enough.
Well,
I
would say...
I'm like a $5 a night guy.
I would say in terms of timing, do it at the end of your stay.
Although,
pricing,
I
don't know.
I have heard I pre-tipped on my limo ride, so I get a better... The guy was like, he felt good. I got $20 in my hand.
How do you know it went to him and not the company?
I think they keep their own.
No, this
tips,
is key. This is key. Tipping before. This is what my great grandfather always did, and it worked every time. You tip before.
I'm with that. So I would say $10 for two nights.
That's way too much, right?
But also, what's the hotel?
Well, that's where my conundrum is. Is nice hotel you tip more? Like if I'm at the Wyndham,
so what do you say? $2 a night? I don't know. I'm saying I would leave $10.
I don't think.
We're going to be in Vegas for two nights.
Yeah, but
I'm
like,
going to leave
Vegas,
$20
is Vegas
in Vegas.
Is Vegas different than, you know,
yes,
Philadelphia?
It's different. Yes, I was factoring that in, though.
So what about me in Philadelphia?
Just you?
Yeah. $5?
$8.
See, I think that's even too much.
I would say 10, probably.
I'm still at, I would do 10. You're saying for you. I know you don't make a lot of money, so it's okay. Ben, what would you do here?
I'd probably do 10, five a night.
Then I've been really cheap over the years.
See, we're trying to help you out.
That's why I'm asking.
But this is a whole Mark James thing. Mark James will not tip for takeout, which I don't think is wrong. When you get takeout, you don't tip. You walk in, you get it. They got your food. They brought the bag.
Depends on the place.
I don't. If I sit at the bar, I'll tip the. You know, but no. Okay. Well, that's a bigger conversation for different apps.
Right.
I have two.
Okay.
Number one is Netflix has a lot of options right now. People are bailing on Netflix and they're going to Disney Plus. And I got John Anderson, our producer.
I love.
I watch hours. Don't say you don't have kids. If you say that, I just. You know what? If you're
what are you
say,
talking about? I watched just Boy go. Meets World this week.
Just go. Good seeing you.
Boy Meets World.
You're an adult.
Show.
You're an adult. You're an adult.
Boy Meets World was.
You're an adult. I'm doing it. You are getting Disney Plus in my house. One, it's free with Verizon. Yep. Two, we have two kids. So I don't need, this was sidecar, but you people on the internet who are grown adults with no kids tweeting about Disney Plus.
I wasn't tweeting about
get
it.
Get a life. Get a life. Grow up. Go do something. Like
it's
you
a
should,
nice show.
You should be writing columns instead of like try to do something with your life.
Yeah, but see, I get.
Now I sound like Jerry. This is ridiculous.
I get criticized for only watching sports. Now I'm branching out to watching other things.
Okay, you're wrong about this. If you go on Netflix, the best movie you have not watched yet, I watched it for a second time today. It's called Mississippi Grind. It features Ryan Reynolds. It's a gambling movie. It is dark. It is sad. It is awesome.
What is it?
Mississippi Grind on Netflix. You're welcome. Number two, we started a Let Us Bet campaign on Tuesday. Here's a new one. And I can't quite figure out the wording for this. You guys can help me out. I think I'm going to call it shame honking. So last night, driving home from Encore, driving on the highway, and the person in front of me on 93 is going inside the right lane, inside the left lane, inside the right, all over the place. I say, I guarantee I know what's going on. I pull up next to them.
Texting?
The woman's head is in her effing phone. You see the bright light for her phone, and I, next to her, for about, it was at least half a mile, horn down, and she's looking at me, looking at her phone, and I'm telling her, put the phone down, put the phone. We should be shame-honking people who are texting and driving and looking at their phone while they're driving. It's tougher to see during the day, but at night, the light from the phone makes it obvious. Shame honking should be a full-time thing. You do it as long as you want. Get their attention and tell them, get off your phone.
But isn't that creating potential for more accidents?
Don't care.
What do you mean you don't care?
Don't care. Why? Because I know texting and driving and looking at your phone while you're driving is even worse.
Yeah, but what if you startle the person?
Honking, well, then they shouldn't get off their phone. They'd be less startled. They'd be focused on the road. 10 and 2, eyes and ears open, no headphones, and focus. We should be shame honking.
I do agree that is a major problem, and you see it more and more. Even more than just like when you're stuck in traffic. Now you're going 60 yep. miles an hour on the highway.
And I admit, I'm going to say it right now. When I've stopped at traffic in Boston, I will look down at my phone in traffic. And yeah. Sometimes I'm late to go and I'll get beeped at. I deserve it. That's fine. Driving, I'm completely done. I throw the phone now so I don't look down and text and drive.
Did you hear Edelman this morning? He thought that Massachusetts was a hands-free state.
He did?
Yep. Because oh. he was his phone on the Greg Hill show is usually always bad, and he said, how do I sound? Do I sound better? I got the phone up by my ear this time. I'm breaking the law. And so he thought that Massachusetts was a hands-free state.
I thought it was too, actually.
What?
I don't know. I go hands-free anyway. You don't have Bluetooth. It shouldn't be on your phone in the car. You go Bluetooth-free in the car driving?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Okay. Yeah, you made me mad.
Thanks.
All right, so shame honking, hashtag shame honking. Get it going. Good luck on WIP tonight.
Do my best.
All right, we'll come back. We have a huge, 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 huge final hour. We come back, talk gambling with John Ewing. We go to Philadelphia, talk to my buddy Eitan Shander from
Rival,
the Fanatic
huh?
in ESPN, and we get you set for Pats and Eagles, hour four next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.